I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. For weeks, Australians have been hearing about a reopening plan that hinges on national vaccination rates reaching 70 to 80% before many stringent public health restrictions, including lockdowns, are wound down.
And the clear point I'm making to Australians today is that is where we're going. That is where we all want to go. There will be risk attached to it, but there is also risk by remaining stuck where we are.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison insists that this plan, based off modelling by the Doherty Institute, is safe.
We have to break this cycle. The national plan is the way to cut through. Now, this Groundhog Day has to end, and it will end when we start getting to 70% and 80%. Thank you all very much.
But that has been questioned by both state and territory leaders and some experts. Today, Morrison's plan for living with COVID in Australia. It's Wednesday, the 1st of September. Hey.
Hello, darling. How are you? I'm going to put my email off so it doesn't ping.
Catherine Murphy is political editor at Guardian Australia.
Okay.
So, Murph, I think a good place to start is with the Doherty Institute and this modelling that they've provided to the government, because I think there's been a lot of confusion around this.
Well, with the obvious caveat that I am not an epidemiologist, yes, Laura, let's step this through. Mm-hmm. Let's start with who the Doherty Institute is. It's an sort of an immunity, an infection, sort of health specialist institute within the University of Melbourne. And these guys are really clever about epidemics, and that is why the National Cabinet asked the Doherty Institute to prepare a report for consideration towards the end of July about how Australia can pilot to COVID normal, whatever that looks like, how we get from where we are now, lockdown on the East Coast, to something a bit more like the life we knew before COVID. So this modelling exercise considers how different vaccination rates in the community and different types of vaccination strategies impact the transmission of the virus. And it looks also at what public health interventions are necessary to keep infections at a low enough rate to not overwhelm the health system, and so that we can reopen the country. So in the original report, because there's now sort of two floating around, the original report, which is this one that went for July, that basically modelled a scenario where a single outbreak involving 30 people would spread through the Australian population. Mm. That was just an assumption they used, basically to show how rapidly epidemics spread. But there's been some debate since, which we won't bog down on too much, but just a lot of people have said, well, hang on, the first run of modelling is based on 30 people being infected, and now we've got 1,000 people a day. So does a higher infection rate make a difference? So that's the second bit of modelling that they're doing at the moment to just test those assumptions. But again, back into the exercise, what does it mean? So they're looking at different vaccination strategies and how that impacts an epidemic in the community. And one of their key inputs into their modelling is how contact tracing, testing, quarantining, isolation, how all of that holds up during an outbreak, because that's critical, basically, to whether or not this is a spreading infection that public health authorities are on top of, or an infection that's kind of running out of control. So tracking, tracing, testing, isolation, quarantine. There's an acronym for this, Laura. Of course there is. It's called TTIQ.
Right. So according to the Doherty modelling, the effectiveness of testing, tracing, isolating and quarantine, or TTIQ, is pretty key to opening up safely. I find that interesting because I feel like the vaccination rate has been the main thing emphasised as kind of the key to a freedom day.
You're right, Laura, particularly where you live in New South Wales, in Sydney, in the daily press conferences, there's a lot of focus on vaccination rates and there's not the equivalent amount of focus on how the TTIQ system is actually standing up to the current infection. It's quite noticeable, actually, from where I sit in Canberra, that there's a lot more focus on one than the other. Both are actually important. Basically, what Doherty says is that if TTIQ remains highly effective, right, once vaccination rates are at 70 and 80%, if it's all fine, if it's all working, then we can open up because we will stay on top of outbreaks. And that, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, that makes intuitive sense, right? If your tracking system's on top of it, you're okay to reopen.
If you've got high vaccination rates and testing and tracing is working well, things are good, basically.
Things are good. Well, they're not great if you get sick, but they are good in the general population sense, right? But then we've got to think about the opposite, which is if TTIQ is not effective. Now, and that's a very realistic scenario where infections are, you know, start to overwhelm the capacity of the health system to manage them. Now, Doherty says, in relation to the 70% threshold of vaccinations, that lockdowns may still be entirely necessary at 70%. Because if TTIQ gets overwhelmed, then you've got to basically have lockdowns either in localized areas to try and control an outbreak in a population, but it also leaves open broader lockdowns. By the time we hit 80%, not so necessary, but 70% is a threshold over which Doherty says you've got to be cautious about reopening at that threshold.
Okay, so it's pretty nuanced. How has our Prime Minister Scott Morrison been speaking about this Doherty modelling over the last couple of weeks?
Proudly nuance-free, I think we can say.
I've put no faith in a calendar. There's no Freedom Day here. That's not what my plan is.
Look, we shouldn't be too snippy. The Prime Minister has said several times, in fact, over the last week, that 70 or 80% doesn't mean Freedom Day.
I mean, a day is not going to change it. 70% is going to change it. 80% is going to change it. That's the day you get to.
So the Prime Minister's been sending these messages out far and wide. He went on Insiders last Sunday.
So let's go straight to the Prime Minister. Scott Morrison, welcome to the program.
Good morning, David.
So what's the advice?
And he told people there was a need to move past lockdowns, that at 70 and 80% vaccination rates, lockdowns do more harm than good.
Lockdowns are not a sustainable way to deal with the virus, and that's why we have to get to those 70 and 80% marks so we can start living with the virus, which means for those who
He's been on the Today Show again with those messages. You can safely open up at 70 and 80%. And he dropped in a reference to the children's movie, The Croods.
Okay. Now, it's like that movie in The Croods. People wanted to stay in the cave. Some wanted to stay in the cave, and that young girl, she wanted to go out and live again and deal with the challenges of living in a different world. Well, COVID is a new different world, and we need to get out there and live in it. We can't stay in the cave, and we can get out of it safely. That's what the plan does.
Well, you meandered to an area I never in my life thought you would meander to.
Which, sadly, I have not seen.
No, neither have I.
But Wikipedia tells me is about a family that is sort of taking shelter in a cave during some sort of, you know, bad business happening outside the cave. And then there's a familial dialogue about getting out of the cave, which I think one of the daughter Croods leads. And the Prime Minister said, look, see, they got out of the cave, it's all fine, and there was even a sequel.
So just to be clear...
I like the movie.
No, I understand.
Murph, when you saw the Croods... Well, I saw the Croods trending on Twitter and had no idea what was going on. I mean, did this this type of framing of the government's plan make any sense to you? What was your first reaction?
Well, I thought, God, what is... My first question was, what is the Croods?
And what is a Crood?
And then... My second question was, do I need to watch it? But look, as to the efficacy of it, I don't know. Maybe it does cut through for families that are concerned about the safety of the planet. It is possible it does. But it was certainly the Croods analogy was one that we didn't see coming.
Good morning, everyone. I'm joined by the Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Minister for Defence.
And then on Thursday when he was in his courtyard at Parliament House.
It's important to say about the national plan, which is agreed by all states and territories and the Commonwealth, that this plan, it's safe.
He said our national plan is a safe plan.
It's about opening smartly. It's about opening in a way that is phased. It all doesn't happen on one day. It happens in phase B, which is what I'd call a very soft, careful opening.
So, Murph, is all of this framing of the Doherty modelling accurate? I mean, to me, it seems like he's wandered from the truth a little here.
The Doherty modelling does set out some scenarios in which it would be safe, but it's a silly word to use because pandemics are not safe. The Doherty modelling is not saying here's a risk-free road where we can move from one state of being to the other. It's just a silly word. And the way that a lot of the top line messaging about the Doherty report has been presented to people has been that it is safe to move at 70 or 80%. And look, it's completely devoid of the shades of grey and the nuances in the report that people need to have their heads around.
There's no talking about the TTIQ in this, right?
No, we've got the crudes, but we haven't had TTIQ so far, right? I don't know if there is a sequel to TTIQ and it all works out in the end, but anyway, no, look, his messaging is at a very simple level.
Mm.
And in fairness to him, it's because only simple messages really cut through at a time when people are very anxious and they've got a lot on their minds. But it is foolish of him, in my opinion, to be framing this 70 to 80% transition point as a safe transition. It's not a safe transition. This is a pandemic.
Next, the risks of opening up, both for Morrison and the public. I can imagine there are some benefits but also risks for Morrison with conveying this type of simplistic messaging that it's safe to open up at 70 or 80%.
Well, he's certainly he's not had a good year. The vaccination rollout has been, an unfathomably bad bungle. People know that. People in Australia have felt like sitting ducks in the middle of winter without vaccine coverage. And the reaction in some parts of the community has been visceral. The people have been really, really angry about it. So quite honestly, his primary consideration is making sure that we can execute this transition as effectively as possible and that systems work and that people are okay. But obviously, the Prime Minister is acutely aware that in New South Wales and Victoria, the two lockdown states, people are very frustrated with lockdowns.
Mm.
And the Prime Minister wants to send a clear political message that he hears that he understands that. But I think the risk for him, Laura, is that he's made some bad judgments this year. That's why voters are angry with him. He risks compounding those bad judgments with sort of conveying a level of false comfort, conveying a level, you know, that this is okay, this is all be fine, this is safe, this is, you know, whatever. Well, it's not right. And it would be better, I think, to be more hedged, be more nuanced. I think that's just more truthful.
Right. So how have the various premiers responded to this message that we need to move on from the idea of locking down and live with some level of COVID?
The problem the Prime Minister's got is that living with COVID might work a whole lot better in New South Wales and Victoria than it will do in Tasmania, South Australia, Western Australia and Queensland at the moment.
That don't have as much COVID as New South Wales is facing at the moment, or any.
Well, this is the difficulty he's got politically. It's sort of like turning up in Queensland and say, hey, how about we live with COVID? It's probably not the best message, right?
Mm.
The plan requires state buy-in. See, state governments in the Australian Federation have the power. They run the health systems. They, you know, they control the sort of internal borders. And we've seen these differences play out at various stages of the pandemic. It's not new, but at the moment there's some very sharp differences. In New South Wales, right, Gladys Berejiklian didn't lock down hard or fast enough. One of the reasons she didn't is because her own government is divided about the merits of restrictions versus the merits of being open. So now there's a found strategy in New South Wales where Berejiklian tells people every day at 11 o'clock.
Every state, and again, New South Wales has had to deal with this in a very stark way, but every state, once we open up at 80% or 70%, every state's going to have to deal with Delta.
And look, I'm brave enough to live with COVID here. You know, here we are. I think that's making a virtue of necessity rather than something that she actually set out and planned. But anyway, that's the line in New South Wales. In the Labor states, the line is different. The line is we've got to go for suppression. Hopefully we can get infections down as close to zero as possible in terms of community transmission. But at the end of the day, Morrison wants a national approach to reopening. That's the whole purpose of the National Cabinet conversation. But at the end of the day, these premiers are masters of their own domains. They will do what they do in their own jurisdictions. And the government's sort of trying to coax them along towards the opening point by saying, well, don't rely on us for fiscal support forever. If you're going to not abide by the 70 or 80% and keep your borders shut or impose lockdowns, don't expect we'll be here with the money tree. But Andrew Barr, the Chief Minister of the ACT, had something quite funny to say about that by way of a riposte. This was about a week ago. Andrew Barr said, well, hang on a minute, Scott Morrison's going to go to an election sometime over the next 6 months. Is the Prime Minister seriously saying to great swathes of the Australian population, you're on your own if your Premier doesn't do what I want him or her to do? And Andrew Barr's assessment of that was, well, I reckon that's not going to happen. So the point of that is that we're still in the same place with the pandemic that we've always been, that there are divided responsibilities between the Commonwealth and the states. And ultimately, in terms of the health stuff and in terms of restrictions, the power rests with the states. So I think a number of the states have signalled that they're really not interested in embarking on something that's incredibly risky, that they're happy to reopen at a higher threshold, but 70% maybe not quite where they want to reopen.
What about the experts? I know that the Doherty modelling was actually updated recently. Have they issued any caution about how their modelling has been interpreted by the Prime Minister and others?
Well, in the Doherty report, those experts have been clear from the get-go, from the first report, that 70% is a threshold that you open with caution. It's not just chuck all the doors open, all the windows open, spring clean, yep, you boot, it's all good. At that 70% threshold, their advice has always been highly nuanced. They've always said 70%, lockdowns might still happen. I believe the advice, the updated advice that went to the last National Cabinet meeting, which was last Friday, that level of caution, I gather it was sort of upped and re-emphasised that 70 is a bit, you've just got to be careful at 70. The other bit that I gather was part of the updated advice is that coronavirus epidemics will continue to happen at local levels in pockets of the population that are under-vaccinated or have low vaccination rates. So even when the national level hits 70%, you can have pockets of the population that have little or no vaccination happening, and those populations are vulnerable during any outbreaks, and that can also impact how an outbreak spreads through the community.
Right. So from what you've just told me, the updated advice to government presented to them last week may include a warning that opening up at 70% means that outbreaks will continue, especially in areas with low vaccination rates, which, as we know, are largely regional and remote Indigenous communities who are already suffering through an outbreak in New South Wales and are just incredibly vulnerable. How on earth is that a safe plan, as Morrison has described it?
Well, it's just not the right word for the Prime Minister to be characterising this transition from point A to point B as a safe transition. I'm sure it's a necessary transition. If you design it well, I'm sure it's a prudent transition. There are a million other words you could use other than safe, but safe is not the operative word that you use to describe this transition in the middle of a pandemic.
I mean, hearing that word safe over and over and over again, nurses in Sydney hospitals, elders in Indigenous communities, it's hard to hear that word, I imagine, right now.
Well, there are a lot of people who are not feeling very safe right now. And as a society, as a community, we will get more safe when we increase the vaccination rates and if we can maintain sufficient public health measures to give us a base level of protection, then we'll be safe-ish, but safe-ish is about as good as we're going to get.
That was Catherine Murphy, Guardian Australia's political editor. You can read her reporting on Morrison, the Doherty modelling and this opening up plan at theguardian.com, and we put some links to that on the Full Story page as well. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, Ellen Leibeater and Joe Coney, who also did the sound design. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Muttignoni, Gabrielle Jackson and myself, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Catch you tomorrow.